Blog Talk Radio.
Go! Go for it! Hello, welcome to Go For It. I'm your host, Paul Gannon. For the next hour, we will be talking sports and having fun. I want all your ideas. I want all your opinions. And, of course, you will get a heavy dose of our opinions. And the number to call, 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgant. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgant. And if you want to send email messages to the show, you can send messages at goforit.gant@gmail.com. That's goforit.gant@gmail.com. Well, hope everybody had a great day today. But right now, it's time to sit back, relax, and talk some sports. All right, we're scheduled to be joined by 140-pound champion, IBF, WBC champion, 140-pound champion, Devin Alexander, who is preparing for a tough fight August 7th on HBO against Andres Kantilnik. And this is a guy who's a tough fighter, a guy who's a young, up-and-coming, hard-hitting, undefeated fighter, 20-0. So we're going to be joined by him, and he's going to tell us about his preparation and how everything is going as he prepares for his upcoming fight on August 7th against Andres Kantilnik. Also today we'll be joined by David Squires of the Daily Press of Newport News, Virginia. David, the urban affairs writer for that particular paper, will talk about the Mike Vick situation and kind of give us a perspective, a Virginia perspective of what's going on down there and what's the situation really. Because there's a lot of conflicting reports right now in terms of Mike Vick. Apparently there's a video that shows him 3 minutes before the shooting leaving the club. And as you know, his lawyer had stated that Michael Vick had been long gone from the club. So there's some conflicting reports there. So 3 minutes after the shots, 3 minutes before gunfire, Michael Vick was there and he had left the scene. So, I mean, there's some conflicting reports with that. But we're going to talk about that with David Squires.
And how's that make you feel, Paul?
I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, we'll talk to David, kind of get a...
But Paul, I'm not worried about David. I'm worried about you, the apologist. How's that make you feel?
Well, I mean, I have been accused of being a Mike Vick apologist. I'm not apologizing for the guy. What I'm saying is he is entitled to have parties, and he is entitled to do the things. I mean, he is 30 years old.
Is he entitled to know that he's under a microscope because of the life choices
You're right. He does need to know those things. He does need to know that he's under a microscope. He does need to know that the world is watching. A lot of people in this country and don't like the man, quite frankly. They despise the man. They hate the man. And the way I look at it, hey, you did what you did, Mike. I forgive you. You're now in This Is America. You're entitled to you paid your debt to society. You still got some probation time, but you paid your debt to society, and you're allowed to have a good time. As long as you're not breaking the law.
You know what? We're wasting time on a loser. Let's talk about a winner. Let's talk about a winner. You know what? I'm going to move the train
on. I'm not going to let you come here. Before we get to that. Michael Vick is a free man, and he is entitled to live the life. As long as he's not breaking any laws and hurting anybody, he's entitled to live the life that he's living. So you were saying now you were going away from a loser?
You know, but the train is leaving. Let's focus on a winner. Big show tonight. We have Devin Alexander coming on, talking sacrifice. Let's talk what it takes to make it and to be a champion. Let's not talk about losers anymore. Yeah, let's move on.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry you feel that way about Mike Vick, but again, Devin Alexander is a winner. I mean, the IBF and WBC champion at the 140-pound division, 20-0, the undefeated right now, and he's a young, up-and-coming, hungry fighter, and he's going to talk about it tonight, and I'm looking forward to it tonight. I'm looking forward to having him on the show, and it should be interesting to talk to this guy. Also, apparently in Miami, the Boy Is Mine Summit, a.k.a. the Free Agent Summit, happened. According to reports, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, and LeBron James, LBJ, supposedly they had a little meeting. And apparently something came out of the meeting where there were reports that all three of them would sign with Miami. And then today Chris Bosh comes out and says that, well, he doesn't see how that can happen. And essentially it would be some kind of pie in the sky type of situation in order for something like that to happen.
That's because Chris Bosh needs his money, right, Paul? He needs that money.
Exactly. And everybody's got to eat. And, I mean, I don't know if
the free agent summit was a waste. Again, you know, we're talking losers. I smell losers. I want to talk winners tonight, Paul.
The Boy Is Mine Summit, a.k.a. the Boy Is Mine Summit. Now it seems like they all just want to come together and be one happy family. But, I mean, you know, I mean, the summit, meeting, whatever you want to call it. I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, one thing everybody needs to realize that this stage of the game, there's going to be speculation out the wazoo of who's doing this, that, and what have you. And at this point, I mean, it's like, who knows what will happen? Who knows who will sign where? Who knows? I mean, who knows at this point? It's all speculation at this point. So nobody knows who is going to sign where. No one knows these things. Everybody at this point is just speculating. It's just pure speculation at this time. And we'll see what happens. We'll see how it all plays out. We'll see how it all plays out. And there's also talk that the Nuggets are prepared to trade Carmelo Anthony if he does not accept their 3-year, $65 million offer. Carmelo will be a free agent next summer. So, and hey, there's reports that if he doesn't sign, they're willing to trade him. So, I mean, hey, it's a lot of speculation, a lot of things going on right now, but we'll see how it all plays out. And right now, it's still early, but come 12:01 tonight, as the clock strikes 12:01, free agents it all starts, the frenzy.
And what's going to happen, Paul? Who's going to sign tonight? When you wake up tomorrow morning, who's going to?
I don't know. Who knows what's going
to
happen?
Paul Pierce is coming out. You know, Paul Pierce could finally go where he should have gone to, 10-plus years ago. He could have gone to the Lakers, or I'm sorry, to the Sixers 10 years ago. How they drafted him, they don't want a championship by now.
They made the decision to go with Larry Hughes, and
yeah, that was a brilliant decision. Brilliant.
Not the greatest of decisions, but a decision that they made nonetheless. But I mean, again, it's all speculation. It's all guys saying I'm doing this, that, and what have you. And who knows? Like I said, who knows what's going to happen? Who knows what's going to happen? I mean, who knows? I mean, that's all you could say is who knows. I mean, like
here's
I said,
what you
everybody...
know. Here's what you know. Here's what you know, Paul. You know that it certainly looks like D. Wade is making a push to bring somebody in. Bosh doesn't mind coming in, but he certainly isn't going to be he's not getting the short straw. LeBron pretty much looks like he's going everywhere and anywhere. He's saying no or yes to everyone and no one at the same time. And everybody else wants the big money.
I mean,
Paul Pierce. The interesting thing with Pierce is that, of course, you know, he opts out of a $21 million contract to get 4 years at $96 million. So he's only really looking at, if he wants a big payday, he's only looking at me, and that's going to be with the Celtics.
Well,
so this is,
the Celtics, they have to pay the guy. He has to get paid. They need him. I mean, he's arguably the best of the big three. At this stage of the game, he probably is the best of the big three. So, I mean, they have to re-sign him. They have to bring him back into the fold. So we'll see what happens there with that. But I expect Pierce to go back. Ray Allen's a free agent. I expect him to go back. D. Wade's probably going to end up staying in Miami. Who wants to leave Miami? Sun, South Beach, sun, fun in the sun. Who wants to leave that? And so, you know, we'll see what happens there. And they'll probably bring somebody in there. I don't know. Again, it's, like I said, it could all change. I mean, there were reports in the New York Times a few days ago that it was a done deal. Bosch and LeBron were supposed to sign with the Bulls. So, I mean, who knows? I mean, who really knows other than the guys themselves? And at this stage of the game, they probably don't even know. So,
but the most important question, Paul, you know, and I hate to sound like I think it was Natalie Merchant, you know, does anyone care? You know, does anyone care? Maybe we need to get me in the studio, Paul. Maybe that's my theme song for the summer, you know, does anyone care?
Or
really, does it matter? Does it matter?
Well, we'll see what happens. I mean, that's the theme song for the Boy Is Mine summer.
Because you know, I'm telling you, the more I look at what's happening now, you know, the little bit of intrigue in terms of sports. You know as well as I do, you and I have been boxing fans, I think, our whole life, and finally, I think we're starting to see a resurgence, you know, in boxing, the gamut of boxing, always with the exception of, it seems like the heavyweight division of boxing just isn't going to be there, but certainly, you know, young guys, Devin Alexander and the 140 bracket, you have boxing just seems to certainly be exploding. Money Mayweather just continues to roll along, and just Pacquiao and Mayweather are going to fight. And so I'm excited, if no one else is, certainly, to have meaningful boxing back.
And that
talking about where LeBron's going, just it's like it's even hard for me to continue on.
Well, I mean, the 140-pound division is an exciting division, and there's a lot of people there. And, you know, everybody wants to get paid, and it's a big-time division. Some big-time fights coming up, and it should be interesting to see how that all shakes out. But you got some big-time players there, and Amir Khan, who you got Devin Alexander, of course, Timothy Bradley, another guy.
Well let's not make Amir Khan a player. I mean, really,
well, yeah,
he looks fun. He's got a nice name. Let's keep it real. Got a nice name. You know, I think I have to credit you, Paul. You know, is he the real thing, or is he just a con? I'll give you the credit.
We'll see.
but it's certainly interesting. I'm glad we're sitting here on a Wednesday, and I'm not beating a dead horse, but you're probably gonna see me come back to this a couple of times tonight, because I certainly like to let you know where you may or may not have factually apologized for something that perhaps you weren't thinking about, but you know. Mike Vick segments here, because I can only take so much, but these reports, he certainly wasn't talking to his lawyer, wasn't intelligent enough to talk to his lawyer, tell his lawyer the truth.
Well, I mean, again,
maybe he didn't know that 3 minutes past the shooting. Maybe he can't count to 180, Paul. Is that 180? I mean, certainly doesn't have the fingers and the toes. Doesn't have 180 fingers and toes. Maybe they didn't. Maybe he wasn't paying attention then. Too busy, you know. But with the odds, I had to figure his ability with the odds making. Certainly, you know, he would have known 180. Must have won $180 when he's killing all them dogs.
Well, I mean, that's a cheap shot at the man. But
Cheap shot at the man. I'm sorry. Cheap shot at the man. That's a fact, Paul. I mean, we're not.
At this stage,
I'm sorry. Let me apologize. That I'm speaking factually. I apologize, Paul. I guess I was a little harsh. You know, we're not allowed to mention that. You know, fighting dogs in this country is not only just illegal, but it might just also as well be immoral.
It's a tad immoral.
And then, you know, you're in the club acting a fool after you are telling, you know, young – he winning awards for his, you know, his humanitarianism, wins awards, is being recognized as a guy that's changed. And now I would like – my question is, I guess, really, so what's changed when 3 minutes before a shooting you're being scurried out of the club?
Well, again, it's we still have to see how this all shakes out.
Yeah, we have to wait and apologize. Keep waiting and apologizing.
We all have to see how this shakes out. As of right now, it's not looking good for the man.
Even if, Paul, so you're not willing to say that even if it shakes out that he was, you know, he certainly didn't pull the trigger, but just the simple fact, Paul, you don't think that him being in that club 3 minutes before the incident occurs, for him just isn't saying, that doesn't put the exclamation on who Mike Vick really is. You're not willing to just call him stupid. Just nothing else other than stupid.
Again, it's not smart. I'm not going to call him stupid, but it's not smart. And
so if he's not stupid, but he's not smart, what is he, Paul?
Is he
mentally handicapped?
We'll have to see how it all shakes out. Let's take a caller here. Hello, you're on Go For It.
Hello?
Yes, you're on Go For It.
Hey, this is Jessica in New York.
Hey, Jessica. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. I just wanted to say you guys are doing a great job.
Oh, appreciate it.
Thank you. You know, whose side are you on, Jessica? Are you an apologist, or are you tired of idiots and their 15 chances?
Well, you know, how many times are we going to try this guy? He did his time, and let's move on.
Why don't you, Jessica, do me a favor, Paul?
Stop for a second. Don't be so rude. Let the young lady speak. The young lady, continue to speak, Jessica.
I actually want to talk about NBA because that's the most important thing to me right now.
Paul,
you want Paul to play the song again?
Where do you think everybody's going to go?
Well, Paul, you just kept saying who knows, but apparently Stephen A. Smith knows because he's been pretty adamant that he's got the inside scoop on everyone.
Well, and what's the scoop? What's Stephen saying?
He said all three of them are going to Miami. He said that first to report it 3 days ago, and he's standing behind it.
Well, we'll see how it all shakes out. I mean, there were also a report in the New York Times that Bosch and LeBron, it was a done deal. They were in Chicago. They were going to Chicago.
Are you saying the New York Times is more reputable than Stephen A. Smith?
I'm not saying anything. The point I'm trying to make by saying all that is that who knows? Because you got the New York Times saying that's a done deal. You have somebody else, Stephen A. Smith, saying that they're going to Miami. And you have all these different things going, and no one truly knows. It's all speculation, and we just got to see how it plays out.
So what do you guys think is the New York Knicks' best second choice? Because I don't think they're going to get LeBron at this point. So what do you think the best outcome would be for the Knicks? Or are they just destined to be horrible?
Well, I think the best guys for them would be probably the secondary guys, Joe Johnson and Amari Stoudemire, trying to add those two to the roster, both who played under D'Antoni in Phoenix.
Yeah.
So I think that would be a good move for the Knicks to get those two guys. And once Eddie Curry's contract goes off the books next year, add somebody, maybe a Carmelo, who may be a free agent in 2011. So, again, there's an opportunity there. So, if the Knicks strike out.
Well, you hit it on the head, though, Paul. You hit it on the head. They have an ability with the vast cap room that they have between this year, next year, and a couple years to grow, in the right way. And Paul knows better than anybody, my background in business is slow and steady. You go out this year and you get two pieces and you're screwed in terms of cap room. Rather than adding three, four, five pieces in the next 2 years and through the draft, you build a team again. You can win for 5-10 years rather than, you know, as Paul likes to get everybody in the playoffs and, of course, not win a championship. My goal is if I was in New York, I'd want to win a championship. Paul likes to get to 60 wins. So, you know, I'm a big believer in getting to the championship. Best way to do that is, you know, three, four mid-level free agents who aren't bad. You know, Joe Johnson certainly is not, you know, he's not bad.
Well, right now we're joined by 140-pound champion, IBF, WBC champion, Devin Alexander. Devin?
How's it going? Thanks for having me, you guys. What's going on?
How are you? Thanks for joining us. How's the training going so far?
It's going great, going great. I'm in Las Vegas, training in the mountains, so it's going great. I'm looking sharp.
So
We got a few weeks to go. I'm looking sharp, and I'm ready to go. I'm staying away from the casinos too.
Okay, that's what I was about to ask. I wanted to make sure.
Right, I already know. A lot of people ask me that.
So they got to stay away from that temptation. Now, Devin,
yeah.
you were a guy who grew up in the rough section of St. Louis, North Hyde Park. You lost a lot of friends along the way. Did you ever think that you would make it to this stage?
Oh, no way. No way. I mean, from the killings, the drive-bys, the gangs, I mean, no way. People were losing their lives every day around me, so I never thought I'd be in a situation where I can, you know what I mean, possibly get my family into a better position. So I never thought I'd be in a situation, but I'm happy. You know what I mean? I stayed focused, stayed humble, and stayed with it. And I'm with my coach, Kevin, for 15 years now. I stayed with it, and now look what happened. I am a product of hard work.
And definitely, and that's something that definitely needs to be acknowledged. Now, Devin, also, now, growing up in that tough neighborhood, I mean, how hard was it? I mean, we can talk about it, but you lived it. How hard was it?
I mean, now you see reporters and interviewers coming to where I used to grow up at. They see vacant buildings. They see, I mean, just stuff in chaotic form. So they ask me, you know what I mean, they put me to the side and ask me, how did I make it out? You know, and I think it was by the grace of God and me staying focused and wanting to do better with my life and my family be in a better position and just wanting to be in a better position that we were in now. So that's what I tell people. I worked hard. I didn't stray away. I didn't go to gangs. I didn't smoke, drink. I didn't go out. I just stayed focused.
So, Devin, I want to touch on what you talked on earlier. You're out. You have 3 weeks to the fight, and I think it'd be certainly interesting to see where you are in terms of your training, and now what happens in the next 3 weeks for you in terms of your training. Where do you take, you know, what you've been doing now that you're out in Vegas and prepping for the fight, and how do you now get ready to get in the ring for 12 rounds?
Well, I'm already working hard, and each week I step it up a little bit more because this is going to be a high-intensity fight for me. That's for me and my coach. That's our game plan. So I'm running faster pace when I run the mountains, Mount Charleston. I'm running faster pace when I run the track. And I'm doing more and more rounds and sparring. Right now we're at 10. We do drills on the bag every day. And it's just going to be a high-intensity fight for me. And each week is going to be harder and harder. And as we get closer and closer to the fight, like a couple weeks out, we're going to slow it down because by then I'll be ready to, you know what I mean, get in the ring and do my thing. So I'm going to be ready and on point August 7th.
Now, Devin, you talked about your coach and your trainer, Kevin Cunningham. And he's been instrumental in saving a lot of guys in that area. He was big in the career of Corey Spinks, and you and Corey are close. And he kept guys out of trouble, and he kept you out of trouble. What does a guy like Kevin Cunningham mean to you, not only in the ring, but outside the ring?
It means a lot. I mean, we would have had a lot of people like Kevin around when we was growing up. I mean, we could have more productive citizens coming out of St. Louis. But we didn't. I mean, I'm just blessed enough to have Kevin. He didn't give up on us. Most of the people that was around us, around the area, gave up on us. Then they thought we was just snide-nosed little kids. You know, he running around. Who's going to waste time with them? They ain't going nowhere. You know, stuff like that. And Kevin didn't think of it like that way. He think of it, you know what I mean? He's going to start this gym. He's going to give us something to do. And he's going to give us something to look forward to when we get out of school instead of when we get out of school, we look forward to just hanging out and going to the street corner or just doing nothing and not being productive. So I'm glad that he started the gym. We started off with 30 kids. I know he wished he would have saved 30 kids, but he couldn't, you know what I mean? I mean, that comes to show you how powerful the streets can be, you know what I mean, around it 24/7. I mean, when you go to the gym, I mean, you're around the gym about 2 or 3 hours a day, but the other, you know what I mean, 20, 21, 22 hours out of the day you're around negativity. So, I mean, you got to be strong where I come from. And I'm just that's what I'm trying to get people to realize, that I was strong enough to, you know what I mean, resist temptation and go on and become champion.
Now, Devin, and that's interesting because, I mean, when people think of gangs, they think of L.A., but the Midwest right now, they're dealing with a lot of gang issues. So, I mean, when you say trying to avoid that.
I mean, it's like St. Louis right now. I mean, it is hectic down there. I mean, you hear about people getting killed. I mean, people setting people on fire, all different type of stuff, you know what I mean? And it's just going crazy in St. Louis, and it's rough. So Midwest is definitely known for a lot of gangs and a lot of violence.
Now, Devin, your first major step-up fight was against the ever-tough Chop Chop Corley, DeMarcus Corley. Going into that fight, what was your mindset? Because that was your toughest test to date.
Right. I mean, I knew it was going to be a tough fight, so I trained 110% for that fight. But I wasn't nervous at all. You know, it's just something about me. I think as long as I train, I got the ability. God gave me the ability to handle any skill, anybody, whatever type of thing they're going to bring to the ring. I think I got the ability to handle whatever they're going to bring. So, but the Chop Chop fight, I trained hard, no pressure, and I was just ready to get in there and show people that I can be in there with the best. Chop Chop was a good fighter, but I mean, he was a softball, and I was more on Corey since I've been, you know, 15, 14. So it wasn't like I haven't been in there with one of the best persons in the world. So it was a good fight, and I came out victorious. So it was an okay fight for me, but I wanted better. I knew it was an important fight for me to win, and after that, I was ready to just, you know what I mean, continue to learn and continue to get big fights.
So Devin, who do you think, in terms of your fight style, who do you think you best compare to?
Well, for me, I don't compare myself to nobody. I look at Parnell Whitaker, I look at Floyd, I look at all the slick fighters and a couple of guys that got major power, and I take that and use that into my technique. You know, I don't really compare myself to nobody because I'm trying to get to that level myself. So, I mean, I don't have nothing against them, but I just implement what they do. And I try to not duplicate it, but add that into my skill or what I do in the ring. So that's how I come up with that.
Now, Devin, you won your first major title against Junior Witter. You dominated the fight. Now, coming from where you came from, how did it feel to finally be on top of the world with a title belt?
Oh, man. I mean, it was amazing. I mean, after the fight, he didn't come out for the ninth round, that was the most amazing feeling I have ever felt. I mean, I was numb. I mean, I felt like I was floating in a cloud. I couldn't believe it. And I would never, ever in life forget that moment. And there was a moment in my life where I knew that my hard work paid off, and I knew that, you know what I mean, possibly my life is going to change. And I was just so excited, and you know what I mean? I wanted to just go back to the gym and go to work so I can continue to have success and continue to keep my belt.
Now, Devin, you were the first guy to stop Juan Urango in your last bout. You captured the IBF title. Now, did you think you would stop this guy? Because no one has stopped Urango.
Well, I mean, see, this is what people don't know about me. I'm 23, and of course I'm young, but I'm constantly learning in the gym, and I'm like a sponge. I'm soaking it all up. And you know, I felt that Juan Urango and them did think I was young, and I think they did think I was inexperienced. But they have to realize that I had over 300 amateur fights. I was in Olympic trials with Rock Allen, and I sparred with some of the best fighters when I was amateur, you know. So I think they really did come in the fight thinking I was just an unexperienced fighter and it was going to run me down as the route went on. But what they didn't know, that I was going to be ready for whatever he'd bring, and that's what happened. And that uppercut and my power surprised them.
Yeah,
you know, Devin, you brought up a good point, and I wonder, do you think it gives you an advantage, as you said, being 23, and a lot of fighters think coming into the fight that you may be too inexperienced? Does that give you, in your mind, an edge that people may they may undertrain for you?
Right, right. I mean, I love it. I mean, I love when people underestimate me. And for me, when I'm fighting a guy that's supposed to be the top guy, or they say the top guy, I'm at my best. When I fight the best, I'm at my best. And I don't think when I'm at my best, can't nobody beat me. Because when I think somebody is supposed to be a threat or supposed to be this good and supposed to be on top of their game, the best in the division, I mean, and I just be on point. That's just me. I've been like that since I was amateur. It was a guy in the Silver Glove Nationals. He won, I think, three or four straight, you know what I mean, titles. And the first time I went to the Silver Gloves, I beat him. So, I mean, him underestimating me, it only makes me train harder, and I love it because they don't know where my heart is, and they just don't know what they got themselves into.
Now, there have been reports that Gary Shaw, the promoter for Timothy Bradley, had proposed at 140-pound tournament. Would you be interested in being a part of something like that?
Yeah, I mean, I would love that. You know what I mean? That would prove who's the best 140-pounder in the division, because arguably me and Timothy Bradley are the best in the division. And it will tell who's the best 140-pounder. So I would love to get that on, but it's really not up to me. It's up to, you know what I mean, the egos and the promoter. So, I mean,
right,
I would love
yeah.
to do it and love to get it done.
Now, let's go to August 7th now. You're facing former WBA champion Andrei Skutelnik. He recently lost his title to Amir Khan. From what you saw and what you've studied, tell us a little bit about Skutelnik.
Well, Skutelnik, he's a good, solid fighter. He keeps his hands up and got good defense with his hands up. And he comes to fight and he comes prepared. So, I mean, this is going to be a solid fight, and it's going to be a good fight because I know he's going to come ready, you know, and he wants my title, and I know he's going to come ready. So that's why we came to camp to get ready, because we know he's not going to be a stepping stone. We know he's solid, and we're in camp getting ready for that. So he's a good fighter to me, but solid.
Now, it's funny, there was at the press conference, your trainer, Kevin Cunningham, said that you would get him out in two rounds. Do you agree?
Yeah, that's just something we threw out there. But in all actuality, we don't never going to fight them. We're going to knock anybody out, because that's underestimating the guy right next to you, because the guy next across from you is trying to knock your head off. So don't take that person for granted. But we're training hard, and, you know, this is all for show, and we're going to go in there. You know what I mean? But trust and believe, if we see an opportunity in the second round, we're going to take it.
Devin, I think that's interesting. You're talking about the promotion end of this, but you're the guy that steps in the ring, and when your trainers and the promoters are hyping the fight up, how does that affect you during the training, knowing now, especially for the next 3 weeks, that you're going to be asked that question a couple of times? Do you think this fight only is going to last two rounds? You're the guy that has to get in the ring and now make that happen.
Right, right. I mean, I don't trip off that. You know what I mean? I know it's just all, you know, for the hype, you know. But, I mean, like I said, it's, you know, that second round, and we see he's about to go, we're going to jump right on him. But, like for me, I don't never go into a fight thinking I'm going to knock anybody out. I know what I'm capable of doing, but I don't never go in thinking, you know what I mean, I'm not going to knock my opponent out.
Now, real quick, Devin, I wanted to kind of get your thoughts on some of the major players at the 140-pound division. Let me ring off a name, Timothy Bradley.
Mm-hmm. Well, you said, what do you want me to do?
We want to get your thoughts on some of the major players at 140.
Timothy Bradley, he's a good, solid fighter. But I can figure out a guy, you know what I mean, for me in a couple of few rounds. With me, Timothy Bradley is a solid fighter. He has big heart. He's going to always come in shape, and he's going to come to fight. But with Timothy Bradley and with me, he hasn't fought nobody who's as skillful as me, and he hasn't fought any softball who's as skilled as me. So that's where his problem will come in at. And he's a good solid fighter, but when we do fight, it's going to be a good fight.
Amir Khan.
Same thing. Don't see nothing special about him. He has a good jab, but that's about it. I see a lot of flaws. He falls in with his right hand, and he makes a lot of mistakes. And to me, when he fought Kotelnik, I mean, it seemed like he was just scared and didn't want to get hit and just was running and doing unnecessary movement that he didn't have to do. So he's a good fighter, solid fighter too, but nothing, you know what I mean, too drastic that you need to worry about.
Now, another guy who's been talking a lot of trash, Zab Judah.
Right. Yeah, he's trying to talk himself in the mix again. I mean, Zab still has skill. He's still capable of, getting in the ring and doing what he do best. So, I mean, he's a good fighter to fight and get out the way, you know. Fight him, beat him, and get him out the way. I mean, he's a good fighter for his name-wise. He's a good fighter.
Now, Devin,
mm-hmm.
let's get your prediction on this fight. fight coming up. Let's get your prediction.
The prediction, I think I'm seeing what the plan for this fight is, high intensity. Because we know he's gonna keep his hands up, so it's gonna be high intensity, and you know I'm gonna be throwing a lot of punches. So with this fight, if he's still gonna be there after 12 rounds, then you know that's so be it. But we're gonna keep, you know what I mean, pound him in the head till he falls. So that's what this fight is gonna be based off of, and that's what we're working towards, is high intensity endurance and just working hard each round.
All right, well, the fight is August 7th on HBO's Boxing After Dark. Check your local listings. Devin
it's
Alexander,
called,
Andre.
The show is called Gateway to Greatness. This is my homecoming. This is my first time fighting at home with the title, so it's going to be an exciting thing for me.
There you have it. Devin Alexander, 140-pound champion, IBF, WBC. Devin, thank you for joining us, and we want to get you on after the fight. Talk about the fight.
Definitely, man. I would love to get on. Just let me know.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Take care, Devin.
Okay.
All right. Devin Larry. Alexander, he sounds ready. He sounds ready.
It's interesting. I really appreciate the fact oftentimes you hear these fighters and they're talking about the knockouts. I appreciate very much the fact that, you know, he recognizes he goes in these fights to win, not so much to not get the knockout. It'll be an interesting fight. You and I certainly, who's going to have the fight party? That is the question, Paul.
Hello, you're on, go for it. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you're on, go for it.
Hey, this is David Squires.
Oh, David, how are you?
Doing good.
Welcome to the show, sir. This is David Squires, Daily Press writer for the Daily Press, Newport News, Virginia. David, this Michael Vick thing, man, I don't know what's going on here. It's looking more and more suspicious.
And you're going
to
shed some light on this.
It appears to be spiraling out of control.
Definitely. So, there was talk that he left a half hour before the shooting happened. Now the timeline is somehow it got down to 3 minutes.
Yeah, they said, let's go to the videotape. And, you know, when I heard the 30 minutes, that was really suspicious because my sources had all said 3 to 5 minutes, you know, between the time he left and when the shooting started.
So I have a question. You know, Paul and I were earlier in the fight, and certainly on Monday, we were going back and forth, you know, about Michael Vick and the person. You've probably been covering him as long as anybody has. You know, how hard is it for these guys, you know, down in that area to break away, you know, from the people that they grew up with and their friends and their families and their relatives? They're constantly pulling them back in.
Well, you know, it's extremely difficult. The one thing that Allen Iverson said, that when you become a millionaire, it's hard to figure out who your friends are, so you keep your own friends because you know who they are. So Michael Vick has the same problem, sticking with his old friends.
And, I'm shocked and almost speechless by this story, because this is a guy who, again, has gotten a second chance. And many people don't get a second chance. And he's gotten a second chance. And he's finding a way to mess it up.
Yeah, you know, having a birthday party like that, I don't think it's a sin or a crime. But when Quan Phillips shows up, somebody got a light bulb has got to come off in somebody's head connected to Michael Vick. And they got to play this out to the worst possible scenario. And they gotta make sure the distance between Qantas and Michael Vick, and that just didn't happen.
Well, but you're saying you don't have to have a problem with somebody having a birthday party, and my question is, I agree, somebody having a birthday party isn't a problem, but Michael Vick having a birthday party, knowing that I had just said this to Paul earlier in the show, the spotlight is on him constantly. Why, if you're Michael Vick, why do you want to attract this kind of attention to yourself?
Well, you know, these guys are superstar athletes, and one of the things athletes feed on is the crowd admiration. And that's why Roy Jones Jr. have been knocked out about 4 or 5 times, because he want to come back and just relive that glory. So part of being a superstar is to get the admiration and the worship for people who are nearest and closest to you. And I think that's one of the reasons that Michael Vick attended that party that was organized, from what I'm seeing, at least promoted by his brother Marcus.
Okay, so now it's weird. I mean, let's ask you. Okay, he had a party with 300 to 400 people. Do you think a guy like Michael Vick should have those parties, being in the situation that he's in?
Well, the party went well. But near the end, things spiraled out of control. I don't think that you're going to stop the guys from having those kind of parties. I think at this point, I don't think Michael Vick will ever have another party like that. I'm writing a column tomorrow where I say the next Michael Vick project need to be early Sunday morning in a Newport News church. And he should stay the heck away from this kind of nonsense. These kind of parties that might draw bad elements. You know, he just can't do it anymore.
He should have had the party at church. Maybe he needs to have the party at church, the way things are going for this guy.
Exactly.
Well, you know, but when is it going to – do you really think that this is going to – this will be what it takes to sink in to Mike Vick? Because to me, if it didn't sink in already, I don't see how this is the impacting, you know, a moment in Michael Vick's life.
Oh, I think this will have a huge impact. I know on Friday when they had a football camp, and Vick, I understand he showed up at 3 o'clock. And then apparently at some point he got a phone call and left for about a half hour and emerged very distraught, wiping out his eyes. I don't know who that phone call was from or what they said, but Michael Vick right now, his camp, they are on pins and needles over this incident.
And they should be, definitely. But how does a guy like Qantas Phillips, a guy who him and Michael Vick obviously cannot be in the same place together, how does he get into the club?
Well, it was a public birthday party. Anybody could pay their money and come in. And let's assume that's what he did. That's what he did, and he wasn't just let in and let in the VIP area. Let's assume he paid his own money and came in. But at some point, apparently, he got in the VIP area, got close to Vick, and things jumped off, which is not a good move for Michael Vick.
But if it's being promoted by his cousin, Or sorry, his brother, as you say, doesn't his brother have the forethought to say to the guy at the front or the woman at the front, hey, look, put a picture up. If this guy comes in, my brother can go back to jail. I mean, he can go back to jail if this guy and him are within a certain distance of each other. It doesn't matter about him paying. He's not able to come in the club tonight. Doesn't any of the...
And these guys, they don't have to put a picture up. They know who Quantus Phillips is. Quantus Phillips is one of Michael Vick's boys from way back. I mean, they've been friends since, like, high school. So, you know, you don't have to put a picture up. Let's just hope, for God's sake, that the videotape doesn't show that he was allowed entry and then allowed free reign of VIP and associate with Michael Vick. Let's hope, for God's sake, for Michael Vick's sake, that the videotape does not, you know, does not damn Michael Vick.
Now, at this stage of the game, is he friends with Quantus Phillips and the other gentleman, Peace? Do they have a relationship?
Well, I think they will always have a relationship. But, you know, as long as Mike is on probation, he's not supposed to be dealing with those guys.
Right.
But these guys were tight. They were friends. They ran a illegal dogfight operation together. They were convicted of it. But he's not free with them right now.
There's no ill will because they turned state's evidence?
I don't think so. I think everybody did what they had to do. When you do a plea agreement, they all did what they had to do. And I think the feds had them by what they call the short hairs. So they had to do what they had to do.
Right. Now, in terms of the situation with the cake, there's been reports that allegedly Phillips either threatened or threw cake in the face of Michael Vick. How is that story shaking out? Is there any has anything been substantiated about that story?
From what I understand, they were cutting the cake. They were cutting the cake, and the fiance was feeding Michael Vick the cake, and Quantus, you know, either playfully or just messing around, tapped her hand, and the cake went in Mike Vick's face. That's one story that I'm hearing, you know, but I'm hearing some other stories. Like, the New York Post had another story talking about how they had, removed Quantus from the VIP area. I hope the videotape, you know, doesn't totally blow that story out of the water. The videotape might show that didn't happen, that they were all cozy. I am getting a sense that they're planting some stories to make it look good for them. That's a test that I'm getting. But I can't get any of them to return my phone calls to try to feed their side of the case.
Right.
I did talk briefly to Michael's personal manager, C.J. Raymond, and we talked briefly, and then he said he was going to call me back with more information. I haven't heard from the guy.
So, in your opinion, though, how is this boding for him? Do you see this? How do you see this playing out? For the Michael Vick camp?
Well, with the lies that I've been told, it doesn't look good. Anytime lies get out there like that, it just doesn't look good. I'm sure Commissioner Goodell is going to have some questions for Michael Vick, and when the commissioner asks a question, Michael Vick got to understand the only thing he can do is tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth.
Now, gut feeling, David, this might be a hard question for you to answer. Do you think Michael Vick was involved?
He wasn't involved in the shooting at all, I don't think. You know, I think one of his associates, somebody who he knows, somebody who Quantus knows, was involved in the shooting. And from what I'm hearing, the shooter might turn himself in. And I think if that's the case, then I think that all the sides got together and decided, look, man, we need to go ahead and have this shooter turn himself in, you know, so that they'll know that Mike wasn't involved in the shooting, because the last report from the club owner said the shooting came from the direction that Michael Vick drove off in.
Right.
But it's 3 minutes later. So, I think Mike was long gone. I don't know what that meant by the direction that he drove off in, because that doesn't incriminate Michael Vick at all. But I know that they know who did the shooting. I know that they know, but they need to come clean and cooperate with authorities and forget all this no snitch crap. Michael Vick got $5.2 million reasons to tell the truth.
Well, and there you go, Paul. There's another guy, I think, coming into my camps again. What to me hurts is the opportunities that Michael Vick has. even now the second time. And just to me, it's almost like he doesn't care. He doesn't think it's important at all.
Well, you know, I'm writing my column tomorrow that Michael.
Hello?
Paul,
hello?
I think we. There we go. Why don't you start over? We hit a bad cell.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we lost him for a second.
Right. I'm writing tomorrow in my column that probably Vic's biggest weakness is his big heart. I think he, like, the football camp he had this week, it just wasn't well organized, well conceived, well thought out. But I think he was trying to help one of his friends, associates, or former colleagues. The party was not the best idea in the world, but I think he was trying to help one of his friends or associates, or maybe even Marcus, help them raise some money. You know, and so Michael Vick is still trying to be the middle ticket for everybody. But Mike got to realize that he's a franchise, and his friends got to realize that Michael is a franchise. And all the other projects, they need to leave Michael Vick alone. They need to get a job and do what they do on their own to make their own money and stop putting Michael Vick's career in jeopardy.
Now, do you think it's a situation where maybe Michael needs to just stay away from the area, the Newport News area?
You know, I don't think it's the Newport News area, but the Newport News area is like any other area. It's a big area. But go to the
right
places. Go to church. Go to community recreation centers. You know. Go to a senior citizen home. You know, talk to people there. But he probably should stay away from these events where he's the center of attention, where the show is Michael Vick. Show up.
Well, it almost
like
sounds
the manager of the club said Mike has been there unannounced and there's been no problem. And Mike can go out, I mean, yeah, you know, he's on probation, but, you know, he's not under house arrest. He's going out of the town. This will be the center of the party with 400 people going to show up to see Michael Vick to get his autograph or whatever.
But it almost sounds like from what you're saying, I mean, if Michael Vick wants to be successful in the Newport News area, he really should stay away from his friends and family. He should just, you know, just like you said, go to wherever he thinks about going, go to the opposite place.
Well, that's an interesting theory. But all his friends and all his family are not bad influences. But he should listen to the friends and family members who are the good influences. And he needs to leave the heck alone from the, you know, the people who are bad influences who would tend to get him into trouble. That is one of my biggest uncles, a city councilwoman in Newport News. And he does not get her advice and counsel as much as he should.
But, you know, I look at you mentioned his brother. You know, I just can't wrap my hands around how you could be the brother of Michael Vick and think, you know, Paul and I had mentioned that they were selling tickets, and I'm sure you know, $50 a ticket. Say 200 people come. They're only making $10,000 on this event. I mean, to make 10 grand for his brother, when your contract's $5.2 million, at what point does anyone around Michael Vick do the math and say, but this isn't good business for you. This exposure is not what you need. You need to be focusing on your career. Like you said, you are the franchise. We're not the franchise. You're the meal ticket. We're not the meal ticket.
Well, from what I understand, there are people close to Michael Vick, including his mother, who did not want him to have that party, who did not want him to participate. Their associates, apparently his personal manager, T.J. Raymond, did not want to be involved in this party, but then you got other forces, and Michael's trying to please everybody, particularly you got a little brother, Marcus. You know, big brother always trying to please a little brother. You know,
right.
Marcus has always looked up to Michael Vick, and Michael has always tried to deliver. And so, you know, it ain't a crime to try to help your little brother out, but when you're in the trouble that Michael Vick has been in, you've been given a second chance, you got to look at it differently. Marcus probably needs to man up and grow up too and mature and realize that he's not just a brother of a former NFL All-Pro quarterback, but he's a brother of a convicted felon who doesn't need to be around certain situations.
Now, David, are you willing to take some questions from some callers?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, all right. Hello, you're on Go For It. You're on with Jeremy, Paul, and David Squires from the Daily Press of Newport News.
How you guys doing? I'm just listening to the show, Mark from New Jersey. David, how do you see how this is going to play out with Michael Vick? Do you think he's going to get in trouble, or what do you think?
Well, I think that Commissioner Goodell is going to sit down with Michael Vick and have some serious questions. And I think, just like last time, you know, when Mike got into trouble, I think the outcome is going to hinge on whether Michael Vick is straightforward and honest. And I write in my column tomorrow that Michael Vick should tell the truth, the whole truth, to the commissioner.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call, Mark. Got another call. Hello, you're on Go For It. You're on with Jeremy Paul and David Squires, Daily Press, Newport News, Virginia.
Yeah, hi. I want to call and I want to change it up on Michael Vick real quick, and I want to see what your guys' opinion on is, if he can lead this Eagle team and bring them back to the promised lands and bring them back to the playoffs.
Well, that's not really his issue right now. He's got to worry about this legal situation. Once he takes care of that, he's probably not going to start this year. Kevin Cobb is going to get the start, and so we'll see what happens there, but Michael Vick needs to worry about this legal situation right now.
If Mike can get on the field, this is what's going to happen. If Mike can get on the field, Kevin Cobb is either going to wash out after 3 or 4 games, or he's going to get injured after 3 or 4 games. But you got to start out with Kevin Cobb, and then do a thing. In the NFL, man, you need two good quarterbacks. Kevin Cobb,
definitely.
He hasn't proven all that mumble to me. I think he's going to get injured, or he's going to be ineffective, and Vince is going to get his shot if Vince can get on the field. And then Vince has got to prove how far he's come.
Well, we'll see what happens, but I think the only way Vic does get on the field is Cobb gets hurt.
Getting on the field is going to be hard, though, when you're celebrating birthdays and 3 minutes down the road.
Well, we'll see what happens with this, but hopefully it'll play out in his favor. But I think he's not going to get a shot unless Kevin Cobb is hurt. But David, thank you for joining us. This is David Squire, from the Daily Press of Newport News, Virginia. You can see his article tomorrow at thedailypress.com. So make sure you check it out. It should be a nice article, an interesting article. And David, anything else you want to preview about that article?
No, just I talk about the decision Michael Vick needs to make moving forward. And one thing I say is that the next Michael Vick project needs to be in church Sunday morning.
David, thank you for the call. And David, we definitely want to get you back to see how this story plays out.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Well, that was David Squires, Daily Press, Newport News, Virginia. And David had some good insight there. Very interesting insight.
Well, on Monday, Mark from New Jersey said he needs to get a six-pack. Now,
well,
Wednesday.
I guess David thinks he needs to take communion. So, I mean.
And what do you think, Paul? What do you think?
Well, he probably, maybe a six-pack of water at his house, and then go to church on Sundays and eat the bread and the juice and do the church thing, because that's the only way this guy is going to stay out of trouble. And he has to realize, and David's right, he has to realize, man, you got $2 million reasons to make the right decisions. $5.2 million. Think about it.
Well, I mean, you know, I hate to say, Paul, but maybe I'm sorry, you know, because maybe I was too hard on Mike Vick. You know, maybe we do need to think, you know, what's going to happen, you know, what would happen if God forbid, he doesn't have those $5.2 million reasons. You know, he go ahead.
It's a baffling story, to say the least, and you would think, and David was saying that his mother didn't want him to have the party.
That was the most shocking part of the interview. I mean, that was amazing. I was like,
and the funny thing is, Mom knows best. Mom knows best, and Michael did not listen, unfortunately. And hopefully, for his sake, he won't get in trouble for it. But we got another 40 seconds left in the show. We want to thank Devin Alexander, 140-pound champion, IBF, WBC, for joining us. His fight will be August 7th. On HBO, Boxing After Dark. We also want to thank David Squires from the Daily Press, Newport News, Virginia. Make sure you read his column at thedailypress.com. And we want to thank all the callers and everybody who listened tonight. Good show, jam-packed show. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Thank Jeremy.
Hey, I'm sorry, Paul.
Nothing to apologize. But thank you everybody for calling. Hope everybody has a nice night. Go for it. Bye.